I found that quite interesting. It was more, I think it was a talk around the family than it was the actual person of God. So, where she might have been ready to, you know, do not do certain things, the family, I don't think, was ready to have her do those certain things. So I found that quite interesting.
One of the things that this article made me think about was, because it's kind of like a physician-focused article, and I think the only thing I would maybe say would be, I think we need to think about this issue in terms of our whole healthcare team. Where I've seen the nurses be profoundly powerful is in working together, but then reassuring the family that they're making the right decision, and that we need to recognize that this is a common thing that goes through family's head, is this question of, am I doing the right thing? Am I following mom's wishes? It's tough. It's part of the reason I try, not always, but at times, to make more recommendations when I feel like it's really clear cut, is so to take some of that off of the family's back, that they're making the decision all by themselves. So I think that's when our families are making really tough decisions, they need a lot of support.
Plus, too, we're nursing and patient advocate, so that's how I always think of it. We're trying to, give the patient what they want to do. And that, of course, doesn't encompass the family as well.
And my family just went through this personally, so this is amazing. We may have only had it for 5 months of going back and forth, but it is so hard. My father, he was the primary decision maker out of 5 children. So, in order for them to all understand, it took the whole team of healthcare people to sit with all of them. Really have, because there's always doubt. You always have that underlying somebody say, well, are you sure we shouldn't send you back to the hospital? You just need to constantly assure yourself there's nothing we can do there that would. But even when it happens, when it passed away, I think the person that had to make the decision, depending on how they are, they shut down. Okay, let's get through this. Because finally, it's not all non-stop, And depending on how they express themselves, or stress, or deal with stress, it is so stressful on that person. Even though it's all the right decision, it really is. And you can go by their living world, because that's what we did. But, you always have somebody say, oh, but they're only 78, or they're only, and then that puts that inch of doubt in somebody in the family's mind. So I think that all of us have been a part of decision making, and it's so stressful being a nurse and being that person. Well, what do you think?
And also being a doctor in a situation where you're going around for only one day, someone is wonderful, and I personally just have to choose to go on my own family. One day the person is fine, the next day the person, they're not really responding, they're breathing, the person's very poor, and if they make your decision, but then that night they're better, and then it's like, well, to review how good is your chance of improving it, to review invasive things, and it's a hard decision for anybody. Even when you're in the hospital, because you don't know
so hard.
Right or wrong.
And I think the other thing that we need to try to do is, and I guess I kind of took away from this as well, is that the advanced directive is, yes, it's for the patient, but it's also a guide for the family. So not normally, and I think the living will is important, but what's more important in my mind is the discussion that the patient has with their family. So those kitchen table discussions are something that we want to try to encourage, because frankly the patients that we see here at the hospital are at high risk of dying in the next year or two. Any thoughts on the music thing? Did anybody play anything?
I think, I used to always like I think when you talk about coaching and stuff like that, that's what we do. I mean, in our role anyway throughout the unit, nonstop of trying to, how do I know that someone is extremely overwhelmed and busy, but how do I communicate to them, number one, that they did what they needed to do, and ask them to do one more thing, you know, and how to present that. And it's sometimes, like when we start a new process, it's a nonstop coaching. It's a, you know, we start a bedside report, it'll be coaching forever, you know, as to, okay, well, how did you do with that, or I listened to this, and, you know, maybe you missed this, you did a great job here and there. It's really when you coach, it has to be a positive thing, not a negative thing. And I think coaching is what healthcare lacks on a broader scale, because people are very easy to be negative first. And I think coaching is where people should be in the acting, like, especially if something does happen, you want to first speak about, well, you did this, something that was great, I listened to this. Next time, maybe you can include what this more with this patient.
I think that's really good. That's one of the things that they mentioned in the article is reflection. So I think one of the things that performers do is after the performance, they try and figure out what went well and what didn't go well.
I think you're great, then.
So, and then I also think having the humility to be coached, is something that I think just that sometimes you have to sort of think about. So I thought it was very good construct in terms of trying to say, well, you know, how do you grow? How do we grow in our profession? How do we grow on the unit? How do we get better next year than we are this year?
Mm-hmm. Well, I like the idea of twofold too. I mean, I like expecting that patient. As a nurse, it makes you think you contribute a lot more to that patient's care. Mm-hmm. That you get actually getting their problem solved. Okay, find that out.
Yeah. And working together.
Yeah.
On the same page.
Yeah. And I think it makes the patients and the families feel a lot more secure that they're proceeding in the right direction when they're having that fun. Or when they're going along, you and me and the manager and the nurse all have the patients and know that we're all on the same page.
Mm-hmm. And I would include case management in the whole thing because I think that's part of the teamwork, and it's part of bringing a different skill set. So, I mean, there's just like, there's sort of medical technical aspects and then there's the art. There's the technical aspects of dealing with the insurance company and then there's the art of managing, being the social worker, case.
It was interesting this morning because the patient's family that you spoke with last night, son's going to hospice, just called me this morning. She's like, I spoke with Dr. Valanche, but he probably didn't tell you yet. And I still know we communicate that because, I mean, that's the only way you have to communicate. And I always say that if we don't communicate as a team, there isn't a relationship that is successful without communication, Of course, we say that about but you have to communicate the same thing. It's, you need the input from each of the different disciplines.
Yeah. Just like a band, each person has a band. Different role, but each role according to the overall sound, and they all have to be working, in the same in sync together for it to come out right.
Yeah.
I think the music thing is powerful. Well, it's on the podcast, so you can like listen to it again and again.
Repeat it.
All right. Well, if that's it. That wraps up this episode of Community Hospitalist Podcast. If our listeners have any questions or concerns, I can be reached through my email at dan.valancius@gmail.com. Thank you.